Hello? Yes? I'm at the Fox and Chipper's house right now. Yes, I suppose I could ask them. I'll ask them for a reference soon as they're back. Well, he'll be in at the university and she'll be out shopping. All right, yo, cheerio then. Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't see you there. And just look at you, sir. Paperwork all over the floor.
Hello, Mrs. Brown. Are you here again?
Yes, I'm here again. Same as always. Tuesdays and Fridays.
No, please, Mrs. Brown, don't muddle those up. Would you please come back later? I stayed home specially to concentrate on a very important piece of work.
Oh, sir, your nose I has to clean, sir.
You are relentless, Mrs. Brown.
Yes, sir, but Mrs. wouldn't like it any other way. Now, lift your foot, if you please, sir. We don't want this getting torn, do we, sir? Sir, there'll be no peace for anyone until I have this up off the floor.
Are we all done now?
Oh, no, sir. I have to vacuum the carpet.
Stop that damned infernal machine at once.
Sir, pipe it down, sir. All that shouting's not doing me head any good.
You have just sucked up an extension of Gödel's theorem. 10 years of my life have gone into that theorem.
How dear. And now it's gone clean up Miss Bow.
I've sat up all night. A vital solution was only moments away. It would have revolutionised scientific thinking.
It was Sod's law, sir. He's to blame for your trouble.
Never mind Sod. I blame you, Mrs. Brown. I do. You and your infernal cleaning.
Well, sir, I must look inside me dust bag. Poke about in here and see what you can find, sir.
Hold this. Oh, it's here. And look at the state of it.
There it is, and now I'm done for the universe.
If S is the set of all sets that do not contain themselves, does it belong to itself or not? That's the question, but the solution's missing.
Well, there's nothing else in here.
But perhaps you've tidied the other piece away.
Well, that may be, sir. But what you're reading don't sound like Gödel's.
No?
I'd say it sounds more like Russell's paradox.
You're right, Mrs. Brown. Gödel says there are theorems that are true that cannot be proved. How is it that you've heard of Russell's paradox? You surprise me.
My son Arthur reads your books. Mysteries of Mathematics.
Oh, one of my early books.
And Fun with Conundrums. Your missus always gives me a copy of your books. And Arthur's grown up with them. He enjoys your conundrums best. He tries them out on me.
And, do you come to any conclusions about them?
Oh, yes, of course I do. Like a second cousin to Gödel, I am.
Do you make notes of your findings?
No. I have real work to do. I decided that cleverer people than me were wasting a lot of time on all that. And I don't do the Sudoku neither.
I see. I had no idea that your son had an interest in science. What's he doing these days?
Oh, he's done his 4 years. He's out now.
Out of, has he been inside?
He's been in university. He's got an honours degree in IT. IT means information technology.
Yes, so it does. Thank you, Mrs. Brown. But I had no idea your son had graduated from university. Did you pay all his fees?
Not likely. A scholarship took him right through.
What does a son like that? Think about you working here, doing a cleaning job.
He's right proud of me. I takes on the most difficult and needy folks. people like you, Professor. And I sort them out. Oh, yes, he's right proud of me keeping you tidy.
I see. Well, Girdle's kind of still waiting for me. Now, where is the page I annotated in a red book? It was right here.
How about this in the blue book, sir?
Oh, thank you. I have managed to relate propositional calculus to quantum theory.
That's it. Before you get stuck in again.
You're a conundrum in yourself, Mrs. Brown.
Yes, sir, but there's a matter of a reference I need to get from you.
A reference? You want a reference? Well, my wife Felicity and I will do our best. You found somebody even more needy than us to go and assist with your relentless diligence, have you?
Oh, no, it's not that, sir. It's because...
excuse me. Just hold on, will you? Mrs. Brown, it's my son, Gerald. Would you please find something to do in the kitchen for a few moments?
Yes, no worries. I'm on my way.
Gerald, your mother persuaded me to give you $100 only yesterday. No, you can't speak to her. She's gone out shopping. I don't see why I should pay for you to miss parole appointments. From now on, I refuse to do it. You'll absolutely have to buck up. Once you put yourself in the hands of the authorities, they can legally and with impunity curtail your freedom. Civil rights? You've no civil rights once the law gets hold of you. If they ask you to report in, then you report in to them or pay up. Oh, that's my final word on it. A stinking letter from me evaluating their credentials will not help you. I care very much, but I won't be dragged into it. I suggest you cooperate with them before you get yourself taken into full-time custody. No good asking her. Your mother can be tough too. She puts me through it. Oh, yes. We all live with inconvenience. I have to cope with Mrs. Brown on a regular basis. You should count your blessings, my boy. A job? Did I hear you say something about a job? You expect to be offered an interview? Well, in that case, things might possibly be managed. Oh, yes, that could persuade me to reconsider. Keep me informed. How will the shops, dear? You've been very busy.
The shops were impossibly crowded.
New shoes?
But I already hate them. So disappointing. There are no good shoe shops left in this town, and absolutely nothing glamorous in all leather. These have leather outers, but they have sweaty synthetic lining that does terrible things to your feet, and they pinch. I limped out of the shop trying to look brave. Now, please go online and check our email. I want to see if I've been offered the lead in the Choral Society's new production. It's the tension of not knowing that's made me go out and spend all this money on painful shoes. They didn't phone, did they?
No, dear. Gerald phoned.
Gerald! How is he?
He missed his parole appointment again this week.
Oh, the poor lamb. So what happens now?
They're fining me another $100.
Oh, that's not too bad. And how long has he got to keep this up for?
Until he gets up and reports in on time, or until we run out of money to pay his fines, I expect. However, there is a tiny light on the horizon.
Yes?
He's applying for a job.
Gerald? Applying for a job? What job? What can he actually do?
God knows, I don't. Hold a couch down, perhaps?
The dear boy. He's been so maligned recently. But I always knew he'd make us proud. Do you remember when he won that colouring competition?
He was in preschool, 4 years old, and you did it for him.
Don't argue over semantics, not now, with a job in sight. It's only 3:30, but if he phoned you, he must be up. Gerald, are you awake? And up and dressed, darling? Not dressed yet. Never mind. Mummy's heard about the new job. Oh, I know you haven't quite got it yet, but you have applied for it, and that is absolutely marvellous. Marvellous in the extremo. But listen, Daddy and I have a teeny weeny little suggestion to make.
Huh?
Yes, I expect you have guessed what it is. We both think you should get your hair cut. Well, anyway, Gerald, if ever there was a moment for a haircut and a wash, it is now before the interview. It is what I would do myself. I would always have a bath and a hairdo and new clothes and new shoes, and I have never failed at an interview yet. No, of course I am not, silly boy. There is no need for me to get a job. Because your daddy copes with all that sort of thing, as a man of the family should. But whenever he needs me beside him, I am always there looking my best. Here's Daddy now.
Gerald, do back up and get a shave, and take out all your piercings. That language won't get you anywhere. Would you like to hear my offer or not? Your son is not prepared to listen to me.
Gerald, we are on your side trying to help you, darling. And we do have to rely on Daddy to pay the fine for your missed parole again this week. Listen to him, please.
Be sure to take out all the piercings. Especially that one. A nose ring is what a farmer puts into a bull's nose to lead him by his nose. It's totally demeaning. Demeaning to your mother and me too. It's one of the reasons why we were glad when you moved out. Personally, I...
Calm down, Henry.
Son, clean yourself up and I'll pay your fine. That's my final offer. Goodbye, Gerald.
Henry, I think perhaps you were a bit hard on him. I expected this job idea to thrill you more. Despite his little foibles, Gerald will need a car if he's going out to work. I mean, a nice car. A sprightly little red Porsche might just pull him out of his malaise.
He has only just passed his driving test after the umpteenth attempt.
He ought to have a car now that he has passed.
But I'm serious. He's not having a car unless he gets the job.
You're so fierce, dear.
I have to be. You've spoiled him. He's no son to me.
You never played football with him like normal fathers do. He missed out on that.
I couldn't tear him away from the TV. He was a couch potato. A crisp muncher. You gave him TV meals on a tray. And he never showed any interest in me, except as a source of pocket money.
What did your father do with his spare time?
He spent it at the pub.
Did you resent that?
I suppose I did. But not the absence of football, not with my eyesight and flat feet.
But you'd have liked him to do something with you.
Not really.
Well, what could he have done with you?
I don't know, really. For one birthday, I was given a model aeroplane. It hung on my bedroom wall, looking very nice. Then one Saturday lunchtime, he came back from the pub and decided we ought to go and fly it.
Yes?
He threw it straight into a tree and that was the end of it.
Oh, how sad. Do you remember we once bought Gerald a model aeroplane?
Yes, I wanted to help him fly it. But before we got it unwrapped, he trod on it.
You could say we haven't had much luck with aeroplanes. My father, as you know, was a very fine sportsman. He rode two hounds.
Did your mother ride them too?
No, she had weak ankles. She didn't get around much. She sat down a lot, looking charming and rather inane.
Rather like Gerald, then.
Yes, I suppose so. She just sat there all those years until she died. She probably needed something to rouse her. Perhaps a job.
I expect the trouble was a lack of football.
My mother? Football? Oh, you mean Gerald. No, he'd have hated it. He liked to sit. Perhaps I should have had his ankles tested. Anyway, Gerald is not mooching on our couch anymore.
No, he's mooching off the government.
But not for much longer. He is set to write to great heights now. Nowadays, young people can so easily become upwardly mobile. Oh, yes, once he gets the job, there'll be no stopping him.
He'd better make a start soon, dear. He is nearly 30.
Yes. And heels are getting higher every year. And I just can't wear them any more. Do you think I could have inherited my mother's weak ankles?
No. I just think the lower heels suit you better.
You do? Oh, good. I'll have to go out shopping again tomorrow.
Oh, I have something to tell you about Mrs. Brown.
Oh, don't start on her, Henry. I'm sure she's moved your books. She can't help it. She has to tidy. We don't want to live in a slum, and that is that.
Your cleaning woman has asked us for a reference. I think Mrs. Brown is going to leave us.
Rosie Brown? Wants a reference? Why? What have you said to her?
Me?
Yes, you. Why else would she be leaving?
Perhaps she has decided to become upwardly mobile.
Maybe she's squeezing in another job on a different day of the week. Oh, I do hope she won't get too busy. I asked her to spend a couple of days a week at Gerald's place.
You told me that Gerald was learning to cope.
I know, but I lied. When he said so triumphantly that he'd leave us and cope on his own, he hadn't realised the magnitude of the task.
Perhaps Mrs. Brown wants to be shot of a whole lot of us.
I simply couldn't bear it. Starting someone new is a terrible ordeal. And we've a pile of ironing this high.
Just the two of us can't cause very much work. Now let me concentrate. I'm online. Just checking your inbox. You want to know if you got that lead,
well? Well, have I?
Nothing for you here. It's all junk mail.
If Mrs. Brown leaves, I won't be able to do it anyway.
You will find a way.
How? Are you going to do the housework, all the dusting? You know that I'm acutely allergic to dust.
If I'm allowed here to... If I'm allowed to sit here in peace and quiet, I promise you I won't raise a dust. There's no need for all this vacuuming.
We have to have vacuuming, and the dishes, and the bed linen, and the ironing, all your shirts. It's a full-time job. This is an emergency. Henry, will you please look up from that thing and listen to me? This is a crisis. You have to do something urgently.
I don't see what I can do, except write her the reference.
You're so limited. First, you must apologise for anything you've said and compliment her more. Cajole and coax her. It's more effective coming from a man. I can't go sucking up to her.
Neither can I. She'd probably have a fit.
Offer to outbid the opposition. That will help. If she leaves, I shall erase your hard disk and throw away your gizmo.
I'm lucky that my thumb drive is still working. She put it through the wash this week.
You obviously left it in a pocket.
Oh, here's a message from a software company. I nearly deleted it. It's a form asking about Gerald.
It's for his job. The dear boy has chosen us as his referees.
Who else could he call upon? His parole officer?
Oh, what do they want to know?
How would you describe his character? Arrogant.
Strong-minded.
Strong-minded. Aggressive?
Assertive.
Strong-minded and assertive. His manner of speech, pompous?
Well-spoken.
And disrespectful?
Personable.
Well-spoken and personable. General attitude and demeanour, rude and stubborn, or should I say loud and resentful?
Articulate and resolute.
Articulate and resolute. Experience? None.
He is well-travelled.
Well-travelled?
He moved across the road to the unit.
That's stretching it. Well-travelled. Achievements. Stop. A preschool colouring competition won't cut the mustard.
I'll try this. From an early success in the arts, his talents took him into the leisure industry, followed by a recent short study of the legal system. And be sure to mention his culinary expertise.
Culinary? Gerald? Never even boiled an egg.
When I cooked his breakfast, he used to lean over to see if I was cooking enough sausages.
And caught his long hair on fire. We'll forget about culinary.
But mention his inquiring mind. Put that down.
Whatever did he inquire about?
The number of sausages in the frying pan, which also demonstrates his interest in numeracy. He counted the sausages, all five of them.
I seem to remember that he set the whole kitchen on fire.
He reacted quickly in an emergency.
Gerald did? How?
Or when his hair caught fire, he panicked and threw the chip fat over the blazing cooker. It was lucky Mrs. Brown came in with the fire extinguisher. She saved his life, and probably mine too.
I don't think I'll mention any of that. General presentation. If we want honesty, I should describe him like T.S. Eliot's Growl Tiger. His manners and appearance do not calculate to please. His coat is torn and seedy. He is baggy at the knees.
That's very cruel. No wonder the poor boy has no confidence.
You realise they're going to have to meet Gerald at some point?
Yes, they will, if we can only get him to the interview.
You'll have to smarten him up.
I will. So put down. You will find him extremely well presented.
Well presented.
Extremely well presented.
Oh dear, complete makeover, no expense spared. Extremely well presented.
And if he turned up at the interview in that nice little red car.
He's not turning up in a car!
No? Well, I really need a newer car myself. Perhaps if the nice little red Porsche were mine.
No.
Oh, all right, stay calm. I can see that you need coffee. Or do you want something stronger?
Something stronger.
Coming up right away. Mrs. Brown!
Motivation. I can't say he's a couch potato. You will find him a steady, level-headed employee. I'll send it before I change my mind. Send.
Gone?
Gone.
Good. I hope we haven't made him sound overqualified. Well, Mrs. Brown must be outside with the washing. I think I'll go and look in the mailbox again. Perhaps the committee have written, but I didn't look properly. I don't like to phone anyone. It's so awkward. If I didn't get the part, they will gloat. Oh, I hate even to go out. Mrs. Brown may have left me a note saying she's already left us. Henry, my life is so awful. Wish me luck.
Hello, yes, I am Professor Oxum Chipper, and you are... Gerald's parole officer. Ah, yes, how can I help you, Sid? Yes, I am aware of his missed parole attendances, you see. I've had to pay his fines. I assure you I'd rather not pay them. You think I'm making his life too easy for him? I assure you, it's nothing to the misery his mother would give me if I didn't pay them. Sid, relax. Our Gerald is about to attend a job interview. Yes, we believe that soon he will be joining the regular workforce. We must just hope that a stable routine, regular hours, and a day's hard work will sort him out. You say you can see pink pigs flying overhead. I think you've been drinking too much, Sid. No. You're right, I can see them now. Well, at least something is getting off the ground, or its backside anyway. Let's hope it works out and we don't have to communicate again, Sid. As you say, there goes another pig, bye. Oh, blast! My machine's just shut down, it hasn't saved my work. I've lost everything. Blasted woman, she's unplugged me. Mrs. Brown.
Yes, I hear ya.
Come in here right now.
1 minute, sir. Yeah, I'm on my way. Yes, sir, what has happened?
You disconnected my power, Mrs. Brown. My battery has failed me. All my work has been lost.
Oh dear. But I have to say, I am not surprised, sir. It's a shame your university don't provide you with something decent to save this sort of trouble.
This is my own laptop. I have a desk machine at the university. I just need a new battery.
Sir, you won't get a battery for that old machine. Be cheaper to buy a new one. Something with wireless internet would help too, sir.
This machine suits me very well, Mrs. Brown, when it does not get unplugged.
Well, since his IT course, my half has gone into computers. Are you sure to have something he could pass on to you with a decent battery? Oh, dear sir, I usually have my phone switched off, but today my son might just have a few questions for me. Hello? Oh, hello. It's Arthur. Oh, yes. Yes. So I no need to bother. Yes, I'll see you later.
Mrs. Brown, you were asking me for a reference.
Yes, you done it, sir. That was my offer saying thank you for emailing it to him so quick. He wants to employ a delivery man, nicely spoken. I hope you won't mind that I recommended your Gerald to him.
No, not at all. That's a... very kind of you. Thank you.
You see, the missus asked me to spare a couple of days a week to help your Gerald out. I likes a challenge, sir. So I'm tucking him under my wing, so to speak, and trying a bit of magic on him.
Do you think your Arthur will take on our Gerald?
Oh, I certainly hope so, sir.
Tell me, Mrs. Brown, can you actually fly on that thing?
Oh, sir, you're the one with your jokes, sir. You really are.